Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in him. Those verses were from Psalm 136, 1 and chapter 34, 8. God's creation began with goodness. The book of Genesis begins in these words. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. In the final verse of the first chapter of Genesis, it is read, "God saw everything that he had made. And indeed, it was very good." As God's creation began with goodness, it will end and continue into eternity with goodness. Chapter 21, the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and the form heaven and the form earth had passed away. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning, crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I'm making all things new. What's then in between? What do you find in between?" God's goodness, right? And we'll let Pastor Peace talk about it.
Yes, let me do my job, right? Goodness is the fruit of the Spirit that we are going to talk about this morning. Today is our fifth Sunday with our current sermon series, Fruit of the Spirit. The Bible is full of God's goodness because the Bible is all about God, and God is 100% good, 100% pure goodness. God's goodness is so glorious that even attempting to comprehend it is like trying to stare directly into the blazing sun in the sun. And God said to Moses, as we see this on the screen, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, but you may not look directly at my face, for no one may see me and live." So, here, please let me get a little bit nerdy, so because I will talk about the Greek language. In the Bible, the Greek word for goodness is agathosune, to which there are no references in existing secular Greek literature from ancient times. Though, beside Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, where we see the list of the fruit of the Spirit, the Greek word agathosune occurs about 24 times in the New Testament and in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The biblical writers simply added the Greek equivalent of the "nis" ending to the word meaning good, which is agathos. It seems that there is something that the Bible writers and the first believers wanted to point out, which is very close to what people meant by the word agathos, again meaning good, but not exactly the same. So the thing that they wanted to point out, to express here through making a new word, agathosune, was an attribute of God that names God's perfect goodness, names God's perfect morality. They believe that, and we believe that all goodness comes from God. Biblical goodness is that way, not a matter of opinion. And actually, that is how we use the word good in our world. Like, this food is good, and I am good at doing this. And it's all about our opinion. But scripture understanding of goodness is always in relation to God's perfect goodness, referring to how each creation participates in the goodness of God and fulfills what God intends it to do. As John read for us in Genesis chapter 1, which is the opening chapter of the whole Bible, we read that God saw God's goodness being reflected in God's creation. After God finished creating something, it always says, God saw and it was good. God created light and water and God saw that it was good. God created the heavens and the earth, the land, the seas, and mountain, and it was good. God created life in the sea, in the air, and on the ground, and it was good in God's sight. In other words, each creation was reflecting who God is, not fully, but in its own ways. Its creation accomplished its purpose, and it reflects God's goodness and holiness. And that is what we see in God's creations now. And that is what we sang this morning with the hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. And there is another song that I would like to sing with you this morning, as this song resounds widely and fondly. Yes, that is America the Beautiful. This hymn was composed by a woman named Catherine Lee Bates, who is kind of poet and teacher in New England. In the summer of 1893, Catherine Bates were traveling west with a group of her fellow teachers from New England. After a long ride by horse and eventually a mule-drawn wagon, on the top of the 14,000-foot Pikes Peak in Colorado Springs, which I have not been to yet, there she was stunned by a panoramic spectacle, which was the inspiration for Purple Mountain Majesties. The journey also took her to the World's Fair in Chicago, and that journey inspired the image of alabaster cities, which we sing in the final stanza of this hymn, and a view of Kansas wheat field that she saw while traveling by train stimulated the phrase, amber waves of grain. Now you can feel what she was writing, right? So now let us sing its first stanza now together. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Great, thank you. And wearing your mask, or if you don't wear mask and you sing gently, great, thank you. And it is easy to see that how this land and Mother Nature reflect God's goodness in its own ways, big and small. And this week, I had a visit with Pat and Cal Kramer. Three of us sat in the shade outside their house. and a distant size of strawberry patch drew my attention. And referring to that, Pat said that the lush strawberry garden all started with some portion of the leftover food, where obviously there was some the fresh strawberries included there. Then Pat said, "I didn't do nothing. The Lord is good. They grow well with the help of the good Lord." Then what about us? We benefit from God's goodness, and God is good to us in many different ways. Sure, it is easy to affirm the goodness of God when things are going well, but what about when things are not going well, like this time, when things are uncertain and things are scary? Then, if me here as a worship leader goes in a call and response style, saying, "God is good all the time and all the time," then you what? It's quite a challenge to squeeze out the word you know comes next. God is good. What? Because I see things are not right, the things that don't go well. Then what should I say? God is good all the time. But we may need to be free from thinking of God's goodness only as something big. God's goodness abounds in every hour, every minute, every second, in the smallest of things around us. Can I get an amen? I hope yes. And God does good, and in big and small ways, God's goodness is shared with us. First, in the way that God created us in God's own image, and in thousand different ways to restore, sustain, and enliven God's image in our lives, so that we can reflect God's goodness and live as God intends for us. So in that way, we see human goodness around us. Here is a story that Darla, our church office administrator, shared, because I ask you all to share some story that come to your mind when you think of goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and kindness. So she says this: she was sitting in her car at a very busy four-way stoplight intersection on East Washington Avenue in Madison one Friday summer afternoon, and she was waiting for the light to turn green. But all of a sudden, she noticed several people getting out of their cars and running to the front of the line from all the directions of intersection. People were getting out their cars and running all toward the same direction, the same place. And she couldn't figure out what was happening. Then she realized that they were running towards a car filled with four young teenage girls, and there was a fire coming out from the bottom of the car. So people ran and pulled those girls out of the car, and that made her heart soar and rise and lift and thankful. And she says, "I see goodness in people all the time, just like this one that was very inspiring." Yes, human goodness, which reflects God's goodness, is this: being committed to doing the right thing, even when it may cost or hurt. Good people, in other words, those who let the shared God's goodness direct their words and actions, first resist the temptation to take an easy way out of a tough situation. Even when it is difficult or costly to do the right thing, they do it in the right way. For that reason, good people are courageous and compassionate. Sometimes they pay a heavy price for their integrity. They wouldn't pursue their will at the price of others. But unfortunately, we see that people in power sometimes do it that way, by letting others pay that price. It is 4th of July weekend. Many Americans celebrate this day with fireworks and champagne toast and with the grilled meat as a way to commemorate our country's what? Freedom. and liberty. Yes, this day is all about freedom, and we ought to remember those who fought and died for our freedom in the past by paying the price. We ought to pray for our nation's leaders. But embracing all of our history, we also have to remember those who were rejected to be considered as a human. When the Declaration of Independence boastfully stated, all men are created equal, there were some who were not considered as a human. This is the day we ought to remember those whose lands were exploited and whose lives were killed under the flag of the new nation, sometimes with the blessing of the church. So as a church, we lamented and repented. Then what have the lives of their descendants looked like since the founding of this nation? Freedom. What is it? It is not, hey, I can do it as I wish. It cannot be when it is a freedom that reflects God's goodness, moral perfection. God so loved the world, right? Including America, but not exclusively America. Jesus came for everybody, everywhere, and his mission was not to heightening of a single country's prestige or a single race's supremacy. But his mission was to lift up the downtrodden and bring about healing and reconciliation to the communities, to make God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is always true that God of pure goodness does not support oppression or discrimination. God of pure goodness desires freedom for everyone, period. Therefore, it is a right and good thing to come to the Lord's table, where Jesus invites us to receive and taste God's goodness. And God's goodness that we taste at this table leads us to desire to be a reflection of God's goodness and a fruit-bearing branch of Jesus, true vine, the Lord of all, the liberating Savior for all. So let us accept this invitation to experience and taste the goodness of the Lord.